Dr. Shabir, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
My pleasure to be on.
Let's talk about other religions. You know, our main focus is looking at the Islamic perspectives on abortion, but I thought it would be really interesting to also see what other religions say about abortion as well. So Dr. Shabir, why don't we start with Catholicism?
Yeah, Catholicism actually, does not have much, not that we can find. We cannot find much that Catholicism says about abortion, like up until like the Middle Ages, with St. Thomas Aquinas, for example, and scholars after him. Basically, they have taken the view that life begins at conception, especially from the mid 1800s. In 1869, one of the popes declared that life begins at conception, and therefore terminating the pregnancy deliberately at any time would be tantamount to the murder of this child. Mm-hmm. And that was challenged by a later pope, but eventually it became reinstated as the going law within Catholicism, as far as I can understand. I'm not the best speaker for Catholicism, but we're just exploring this in a rudimentary way from the perspective of trying to understand how the Islamic view fits in within the wider scope of views that is out there, mm-hmm. that are out there.
Mm-hmm. So for Catholicism, life begins at conception.
Yes, and this is now the prevailing view. So the only allowance for abortion would be in the dire case of the mother's life being in danger. And so one would have to choose the lesser of two evils in rather than allowing the mother to die, doing what is necessary to preserve the life of the mother.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Shabir, Catholics have been very vocal in terms of defending the unborn child, right? And what about other Christians? How have they looked at this this issue of abortion?
Of course, Christianity is a very wide spectrum. So Anglicans may be very close to Catholics in many respects. But the Anglican Church has shown more of an openness to recognize the right of the mother to have a say in whether or not she wants to carry the pregnancy to full term. And so there's more of a leniency on their part, recognizing different circumstances. For example, a woman might have been raped and that resulted in pregnancy. That's a different circumstance than, let's say, somebody just committing adultery and then irresponsibly having a pregnancy and now thinking to terminate it. The rape case is obviously quite different. And then, of course, the problem of genetic deformity and so on. So the Anglican Church, may, as far as I can see from a cursory glance, is a little bit more open to allowing for abortion in such unusual cases.
Mm-hmm. Are there any Christians that support abortions wholeheartedly?
There may be some, because nowadays, of course, there are very liberal Christians of many different stripes. In the Toronto area, I came across articles after articles by Michael Coren, who has now, he has changed his religious stripes from time to time. I think the latest was that he had joined the Catholic Church. But even within Catholicism, he is arguing for a pro-choice type of stance. But our discussion would not be complete about Christianity unless we mention the evangelical movement in the United States of America. So the evangelical movement is also strongly pro-life, mm-hmm. So against abortions.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Shabir, moving beyond Christianity then, what about Judaism?
So judging from my humble reading of a book called Ethical Issues in Six Religious Traditions by Morgan and Lawton, the Jewish scholars have taken a nuanced approach towards the subject. For the Jewish scholars, there was a necessity to differentiate when does life actually begin. So there seem to be two major points at which they could pin the beginning of life. The obvious one is when the child is born. There's no disputes about that. But going back, like at what point within the pregnancy would you say that life actually begins? So for them, the simple solution was to say that it begins at conception, because there is no other demarcating point within the pregnancy except, you know, arbitrary points. One might say, for example, that, you know, when the child begins to move, or, you know, when the mother feels the movement
of the
child.
I've heard the word quicken.
Yeah, quicken. Mm-hmm. And that became a concept that St. Thomas Aquinas would pick up on later on in the Middle Ages within the Christian discourse. But for the Jewish scholars, this could not have been, like, they could not hang the question on such an arbitrary signifier. So they went with these two possibilities. But there is also a recognition that there are gradations within the pregnancy, so that the later the pregnancy, the more severe would be the consequences of aborting the child. So generally here we find also a conservatism that says, you know, let's preserve the pregnancy, and in case that there is a threat to the life of the mother, then the baby may have to be sacrificed. And they went to the extent of even thinking that, let's say the birth is in process, but the child is less born than not, mm-hmm. Then if the mother's life is in such danger, of course, this may be largely theoretical, then the baby may have to be sacrificed at that time to save the mother. But if the baby is mostly born, then they're thinking that, okay, so this is a viable life in itself, and you cannot sacrifice one for the other because each one is equally valuable. So this creates quite a dilemma, but in that case, they would probably let the mother die, because that's not in their hands, that's in God's hands. Mm-hmm. So this whole discussion shows the complexity of the issue. It shows how great minds of, you know, leaders of the world's religions, now in particular Judaism, have been put to work to find solutions to some of these ethical and moral dilemmas that we all will confront.
Mm-hmm. I believe I saw some discussion about, you know, let's say somebody injures the mother such that the baby within her dies, then what sort of compensation is given to that family? And I understand that it wasn't the full compensation that would be given if it was a live baby, you know, a born baby, it would be less.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we will have more of this in as we discuss the Islamic views.
I feel like
on
Judaism
this.
Is very similar to Islam.
Very
in that
similar,
respect.
Many similar laws. In fact, when we will come to Islamic discourse, we will come to a 40-day period about which there is some significance. We find that in Judaism as well, that for the first 40 days, there's a different ruling than after the 40 days period elapses.
So let's talk about the Eastern religions, Buddhism and Hinduism.
Yeah, so Buddhism and Hinduism have similar features, because Buddhism grew out of Hinduism. But taking Buddhism first, here too there is a reticence to taking life, so it's mainly a pro-life sort of position here, preserving the life. And it's thought that if you take the life without justifiable cause, then this would contribute to bad karma. And we find similar ideas within Hinduism as well, although Hinduism is a very old religion with many different scriptures and different approaches. Some of the scriptures show that abortions were being conducted in very ancient times, and even the methods by which people were doing it. Sometimes even the barbers were employed to carry out abortions. But on the other hand, there are texts which show that this, again, would be contrary to the Dharma, which basically presupposes that you are going to contribute to the growth and the population of the world, and so on. There is, again, here a pro-life sort of position, basically with some allowance for cases that may require a different sort of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So in summary, you might say that all of the religions basically take the approach that life and death are in the hands of God. We cannot play God by taking life, and we are to preserve the pregnancies, but there could be some considerations that require special treatment, and usually there is some consideration to allow for abortions in cases of dire need.
Mm-hmm. So abortion is not a great idea. It's not something to be taken lightly, but there may be circumstances in which it's required, in which case there's some sort of allowance for it.
Yes, this is my sense of the world's religions' take on this important subject.
And I guess Islam fits neatly into that, because Islam has similar ideas.
Yes, Islam has similar ideas, more nuances, clearly a very balanced position, as we will explore in, you know, as we sit down to discuss that particular take on it.
Thank you for that, Dr. Shabir.
You're welcome.
On behalf of Let the Quran Speak, I want to say thank you. You've helped us become the most widely watched Muslim TV show in Canada. I want to appeal to you to continue to support us. You can visit our website, QuranSpeaks.com. We also accept e-transfers to iGive at QuranSpeaks.com. And we're now on Patreon, so you can make a monthly contribution. May God bless you and your loved ones today and always.